This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to DC Stand-Up, your guided tour of the DC multiverse. I'm your host, Mike Cicchini, the editor-in-chief of DenaGeek.com, and each week I bring you discussions with writers, artists, actors, and experts covering everything from DC Comics, DC TV shows, to the big screen of the DCEU. And this episode, it's all about DC TV because we're talking Pennyworth, the origin of Batman's Butler Season 3, which is airing on HBO Max right now. We've got DenaGeek contributor and brilliant pop culture expert Rosie Knight talking to Bruno Heller, John Stevens, Jack Bannon, and Ben Aldridge about the first few episodes of the season.
Hey, DenaGeek fans, Aaron Sagers here, and we are at New York Comic Con, and I am joined by some of the cast and the producers of Pennyworth, and of course Pennyworth is coming back strong for another season, and I've got questions for you guys. For Bruno and John, where do we find ourselves after the time jump? What's happening with our heroes?
Well, it's 5 years on from the events of season two, which I was not involved in, which I watched as a viewer and I loved. We're deep in swinging London in the psychedelia of the late 60s, early 70s. Thomas and Martha now have a five-year-old daughter, Samantha, who's cute as a button. Alfred is up and running. Pennyworth Securities is a success. And Bette Sykes is that now no longer a rogue sociopath, but a sociopath who works with Alfred. And the Civil War is done, but new enemies are arising.
Why are you so keen on dissociating yourself with the first 2 years?
and I just don't want to claim credit for it. You
know? And why are buttons cute?
Yeah, why are buttons cute?
Why are buttons cute? I've never seen a cute button.
Maybe like small, right.
Things are small.
Why are buttons cute? That is a good question, but that's not my question for you, Bruno. Actually, my question is, obviously we have a new name, a new home, HBO Max. How does that kind of alter the dynamic of the show, of this season? And what can fans expect from as a result of this new home, new name?
New home, I'll start with. Puts you on your mettle. I mean, HBO is kind of the Madison Square Garden of platforms. Or historically, it always has been. So it's like moving to a new team. It's energizing and exciting and fun. And it's sort of everyone knows they have to give their best game. And the title is self-explanatory, really. I daren't say it out loud because I'll get it mixed up and I say the origins of Botmon's Battler.
That's impressive, Ethan.
But yeah, it's hard to get it wrong when you.
Yeah. I wish they'd the wrong tune.
It's not entirely fresh start, but it's a fresh start for us, so it seemed right.
Jack and then Ben, talk to me a little bit about some of the favorite moments this season, as much as you can say about the interactions between Thomas and Alfred.
Well, Thomas is constantly asking to be Alfred's friend, and Alfred's sort of like, I'm not sure, constantly. But I think the thing is, you know, from the very beginning, it's about these two coming together and about us learning about how Alfred came to be a servant for the Wayne family. So if we get to that too quickly, we're done. So we need to sort of long it out. So that's what we're doing. But I think, yeah, we have some interactions quite early on, really, don't we? You come to me for some work. And
yeah, I suppose it's all about the dance of how they get there. And like Jack said, if they got there too quickly, it'd be this kind of buddy-buddy thing. But they're in this season, there still exists this kind of strange tension between them. I suppose the first two seasons, Thomas is always trying to as an asset trying to get Alfred to work for him for the CIA, and Alfred is resistant to that. So there's still this element of kind of slight distrust when, you know, Thomas again this season comes to him for much more personal matters, which I think is the beginning, the kernel of like their personal relationship developing more, because Thomas gets himself in a spot of bother and he really needs Alfred in season three.
And also I should add that it's a buddy. That's right. Is that three?
Yeah.
It's a threesome. There's a threesome, so to speak.
Who is the father of Batman? Yeah, you mean Martha, don't
but
you?
That's exactly, Martha. Thank you. And that's what makes it interesting is you know, in many ways, Martha and Alfie are more kindred spirits than these two.
And we're actually working together.
Yeah.
You know. Like the first season. Certainly this was a quirky world and I loved it, and now we're kind of moving into the superhero territory. It seems like we actually have these powered individuals around. Does it feel like you're more in the Bat universe now as opposed to where you began?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, it's funny, the first season it was a character driven drama really, and it was this Dickensian sort of Victorian London, and it just happened to be about a bloke called Alfred Pennyworth who happens to go on to do what he does, and each year it seems to be more and more down the comic book route, and we have these people with enhancements in season three, and it's sort of the genesis of that kind of superhero type thing. Yeah,
when we always talk about this show, there is an element of that Kipling-esque element of how the leopard got his spots. Because we all know how Batman's going to end up at the end of the day and the skills he's going to have. And we're always going to, and part of the question of the show is, well, how does he learn those skills? Who teaches them to him? So we want to see our characters, I mean, Thomas and Martha and Alfred, gaining those skills, which they can then one day be passed on to Bruce. So we need to see that process take place.
How was the introduction of Patrick impact Thomas this season?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. He brings with him a lot of, I think what we begin to see, and I think it's like purposeful on Bruno's part, is we see the family dynamic that then is inherited, famously inherited between Thomas and Bruce, that kind of slightly cold, slightly distant thing. And I think that what we start to see in season three is that's come about because of Patrick and Thomas's relationship. He comes to London and tries to re-embroil Thomas back into kind of dark matters when Thomas is very much at the top of season three. He's a family man, he's got responsibilities, he's become the pediatrician, he's more aligned to what we see him become in the comic books as this kind of philanthropist and this do-gooder. And that kind of family history comes to haunt him and has a huge impact in season three, and is kind of the reason that he then has to turn back to work with Alfred again as well.
Yeah, Alfred sort of is a character that seems to have a soft spot for helping out people and helping out kind of wounded animals, I guess, almost. Is there a limit to that? He's got a potentially brainwashed murderous friend. Like, it's how far does that go for Alfred? Is there a breaking point to him having that soft spot for helping out people?
I think, you know, helping people is obviously a wonderful thing to do, but sometimes you've got to look after yourself. You know, it's not a renewable source of energy. It runs out, especially if it's not coming back at you. But I think he has his moments. You know, he's focused on money. He does, good people do bad things and vice versa. And I think this season that comes into question for him. Yeah, how much is he capable of giving? But then there's great stuff. You know, people keep you in check. Family is a big theme in this season, and Mrs. Pennyworth keeps him in check. You know, there's a great scene where Alfred's about to do something very bad and he's in the house and Mrs. Pennyworth overhears, and I remember Dot, who plays Mrs. Pennyworth, saying, I feel like there should be a line or something, I should have a line. And I said, you don't need a line. The way you just looked at me, everybody's been looked at by their mother in that way, and you just immediately know that you have to do the right thing, the honorable thing,
right?
You know, because you can't upset your mom.
I need to talk about Virginia Devereaux. Okay. As far as the introduction of her, what was sort of the genesis of that introduction? Like, who said, okay, this is a character we're going to bring along, and why?
Well, we knew we wanted the CIA to be a nefarious presence in the season, but it has to be, you have to have a personal connection to our characters. And we wanted the Wayne Corporation to be this burden that Thomas had fled that one day was going to land heavily on Bruce. So to personify that, we said, okay, we'll have Virginia be the person who's connected and locked in to the Wayne Pharmaceuticals and the Wayne Weapons Programs. And we felt like she could be someone who could presage all the things that are going to come down the line where the government was going to get involved in creating people who have enhancements and have special powers.
The world of Batman and the world of Pennyworth, it's delightfully weird and bizarre and surreal and odd. Can you tease out any exceptionally bizarre moments this season that fans can look forward to?
It gets pretty weird, and there's going to be a kind of a strange Virginia Devereaux and Mrs. P and get embroiled together in a very strange story that will freak people out. Yeah,
we almost get zombie apocalypse as well. By
yeah, the way, you get zombie
it really apocalypse. Goes. I mean, it's an insight into Bruno's mind. It really goes quite strange. Yeah.
There was a period when the transition from 60s to 70s, when all of that the druggy world started taking over the world, where it seemed like people were going mad, and this is really just an extension of that. You know, it's the heightened DC version of what was really happening at that point in history, which kind of one of the underlying themes of this season was last season was the dangers of authoritarianism, I suppose. This is about the dangers of too much liberty, too much freedom.
By the end of the season, do the fans walk away with a sense of like, okay, this is the story of Alfred Pennyworth, and now we are officially in sort of the Batman realm? Or what's kind of the hope and the vibe that fans might take away from this?
I think there's odd like zigs and zags. I think you get partway through the season and you might see Alfred using a grappling gun. You're like, oh yeah, that's absolutely headed towards Batman. And then by the end of the season, I think you'll watch it and go, how the hell are they ever going to get to Batman from there? So
I feel like we start sailing closer to that moment, though. I think quite a cool little enticing moment for fans is that we end up on the streets of Gotham somewhere in this season, which I think is a nice little moment, which was fun to film. We were using the sets from the Batman as well. They were on the backlot at Warner Brothers, so that was exciting to kind of be on those sets. But yeah, I think we're getting close to it, but like John said, also it's a world of its own. So like we tease it and there are the Easter egg moments, and I think we're kind of starting to see it more bleeding into it, but it is also this kind of standalone thing that Bruno and John and Danny have created.
Right. Yeah, by the way, that was us that shut down the Batman for 2 weeks. We started that COVID.
Oh yeah, we did.
I think it's far enough gone now.
Yeah, we're all very we can joke about it, can't we? It wasn't me.
And there you have it. New name, new season, new home. Pennyworth, the cast here at New York Comic Con with Denna Geek. Thank you guys.
And that's it for another DC Standem. Keep it right here, folks. The next few episodes are going to be wild, just to give you an idea of what we've got coming. We have Dwayne Johnson and the cast of Black Adam talking about what else? Black Adam. We've got Paul Dano talking about his new Riddler comic. I've got the new creative team of the Superman books, which is pretty awesome. We've got, that would include Philip Kennedy Johnson and Joshua Williamson and Dan Jurgens. So those are going to be some fun episodes. We got Todd McFarlane and Greg Capullo talking about Batman Spawn. So basically, folks, you don't want to miss any of this. And the best way not to miss any of it is make sure you are following at DC Standem on Twitter and Instagram. And make sure you are checking out all of our DC coverage at our web home at DennyGeek.com. Go straight to DennyGeek.com/DC for any and all of that. And don't forget to check out our Marvel show. We have Marvel Standem, which you can listen to wherever you're listening to this show right now on all major podcast platforms. Check it out. Sometimes we do our Standems live, usually more Marvel than DC, but sometimes we'll do some DC Standems live. So make sure you're also following Denna Geek on Twitch. That's twitch.tv/DennaGeekTV. This is it for another episode of DC Stand'em on the Denny Geek Network. Until next time, I'm Mike Cicchini, and remember, folks, we stand together.